Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nita Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the hidden part of the Torah of Israel, and we'd like to understand the big struggle that's been going on for centuries in Israel about whether to reveal or not the hidden part of the Torah of Israel. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. On our previous show, we understood that there was a period during which the people of Israel were aware of the hidden part of the Torah of Israel. They were aware of the meaning of life, of the process that they have to go through and the changes that they have to make on themselves. And at some point, after the Second Temple and after they went into exile, they lost the hidden part of the Torah of Israel, and they were left only with the written Torah. Time goes by, and came the period, the time of the Ari, the 16th century. The people of Israel are in exile for a long time now, and suddenly he comes out with this grandiose declaration that the time has come to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah, that it's really a must to disclose it. So the first question is, how does a great Kabbalist like the Ari suddenly understands that the moment has come? It all comes from above. That's the simplest answer. It's not that he understood and so on, but it's a revelation that came to him from above, meaning from his understanding of nature, he felt that the time has come to reveal the hidden force of nature that he has already discovered and studied and wrote many things about it, and all the Kabbalists in his days, including the Ramak, the greatest Kabbalist of his generation, they all said that the Ari is a special revelation of the Creator through a created being to this world. And even though that he and his student, the great Chaim Vital, that wrote everything, that wrote down everything that Dari said, and also he himself wrote a few books and introductions based on the books of Dari, they were all in favor of the disclosure, the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah to everyone. But still, it was very hard. Meaning, there was a lot of resistance. Yeah. Back then, there weren't that many clear resistances because it was a special period in time. It's all time-related. It was such a special period where people didn't really oppose it. But they were kind of passive. They were engaged in whatever they were used to. And afterwards, from him and on, that the Hasidic movement was established by the Baal Shem Tov, and the movement of the opposers that was established by the Agra, then began the struggle to reveal or not to reveal, and the struggle became physical, and the opposers informed on the Hasids, and there were different problems, and they were put in jail and so on. What were they so afraid of? Why is there such a struggle to reveal, not to reveal? I can't say because I never researched this. What I understand is what I understand, and therefore my opinion is a very personal one, and I'm not really dealing with these things. But we have to understand that also today, if you ask the Litaim, is it allowed or forbidden to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah? They'll say that it's forbidden. And this is what they have instilled in the people of Israel. Besides the Eastern communities, the Jews that came from Arab countries, where it was customary to read the Book of Zohar and to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning there they were more open to it. yeah, there was the book of Ben Ish Chai, and it was more known, and they were more open to it. Whereas among the Ashkenazians, until the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov made a revolution. He really taught the so-called Torah method of Baal Shem Tov to everyone, that there are the Olamot, Sfirot, Partsufim, that the upper force is clothed in the Sfirot, and this is how it influences us, and he taught it to many people. Some of them reached the revelation of the Creator, the Baal Shem Tov himself. He founded schools for this purpose, where he gathered a few dozens of good fellows and taught them, and they became the spiritual heads of Israel, and he sent them to different places. They called themselves the Admos, the teachers, and different communities developed where people studied, besides the ordinary Torah, also the Zohar and the Torah, the method of the Baal Shem Tov. And since then, the wisdom of Kabbalah became a bit more revealed. And it was a very good period, especially in Poland and in Western Russia. And this is how things were about until the 19th century, for about 200 years. Maybe 250 years, and afterwards it started fading. Yeah. And also because of the pogroms that took place there and the different problems. And once again, the wisdom of Kabbalah went into concealment. And only at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, with Rav Kook and Baal HaSulam, the wisdom of Kabbalah was renewed. Rav Kook wrote what he wrote in his style, which is not exactly in the style of Kabbalah, but still. He wrote about the method of the revelation of the Creator, even though that it wasn't so clear and revealed. Whereas Baal HaSulam, he wrote in a very clear and revealed fashion. I'd even say in a very decisive manner. And from him and on, different groups of Kabbalists were established in the land of Israel, and they started studying. And we are already a result of his elder son, the great Baruch Shalom Alevi Ashlag, that I'm his student, and we're studying the method of Baal HaSulam with the commentary of the Rabash, his elder son. And this is how this method is becoming revealed, especially that we're engaged in dissemination, and we're trying to acquaint it to anyone who's interested. Now, this is really interesting because you're talking about a pretty extended period of time, about 500 years. Meaning, this is a period during which it's truly a must to reveal this hidden part of the Torah of Israel. And we see that throughout these 500 years, there is many resistance and disputes about it. Should we not? Actually, like the great Chaim Vital writes, the first student of the Ari, he writes that since the Ari passed away and on, it is allowed to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah to everyone, and thanks to that, the Mashiach will come, meaning the revelation of the Creator to all the created beings for us to know and understand where we truly are. You mentioned something here. You mentioned the Mashiach, and when I read the way history unfolded, I couldn't disregard that about around the 17th century came Shabtai Tzvi, that later on people understood that he is the false Mashiach, but until people understood it, many believers gathered around him, and only retrospectively the lie was revealed. Do you think that it influenced the way we relate to this, even to this day? I hear from the different Kabbalah opposers always such phrases regarding Shabtai Tzvi. And I'd say the very opposite. Were the wisdom of Kabbalah to become revealed with all of its literature, with its correct teaching, there would have been no place for people like Shabtai Tzvi. To the contrary. And because the wisdom of Kabbalah was hidden, and because people to this day don't know anything about it, this is what causes all the problems to the people of Israel, as the Kabbalists write. So because the hidden part was already supposed to be revealed and it wasn't, therefore come different people that use it, this wisdom, in a bad way for their own needs. Yeah. Okay. There are people that already say, I want to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, the hidden part of the Torah of Israel. But when we start reading, it's unclear. Meaning, the writings themselves are unclear. They're as if concealed from the student. It's not concealed because it's hidden from the student, but it's the student himself that conceals it. What do you mean? Because the qualities, the attributes of the student do not match that which he's supposed to reveal. If we're talking about a child sees a certain phenomenon. First of all, if it's beyond his own reason, his own mind, he doesn't identify it, he doesn't see it. Afterwards, it enters his field of view. If he has the desire for it, he looks at it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We can remember it on ourselves. At the ages of 7, 8, 9, 10, I didn't look at girls. Suddenly, at the age of 12, 13, I started seeing girls. Hey, they're girls. They weren't there before. Now they are. Now, this is an example that's pretty clear to everyone, meaning that if there is a desire for something, a person sees it. If there isn't, he doesn't. So, our desire matures to enjoy different phenomena from a very primitive desire like animals have, and up to a more and more advanced desire. And we have to develop and reach a state where suddenly I discover that I want. But who wants? Wants what? The Creator. He's concealed. It's not like a girl that suddenly I look at her at the ages of 11 or 12. No. No such thing. Meaning, this desire, it appears from within. There are people in which it's more revealed, and then, in accordance with this desire, they search for the Creator. Where is He? I want Him. I want Him from the inside, not from the outside, but I can't find Him. If I could identify Him, like with that girl, then that's something else. But I don't. And so I start searching. How can I realize this desire? So the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is the realization of the desire if it becomes revealed in a person. If it becomes revealed. And here there are many approaches of how to develop my desire in such a way, to such a degree, in such a way that I will discover that the Creator is before me, that I reveal Him. Meaning, there is the desire, but I lack a few more qualities. I have the general desire to receive, but I can't identify him. Maybe he's right in front of me, but I don't see him. Maybe I don't. He's here, and I don't have the ability to grasp him. If he's in the range of my sight wavelength, then I see him. But if he's in the form of radio waves, ultra, infra, and so on, I can't identify him. It's like in these science fiction movies where suddenly, boom, and whatever is in front of you becomes revealed because you grasp it in your new radar. So this new radar is something that I have to build. In Hebrew, it's called Masach, Tzimtzum, and Or Chozer, meaning to prepare the vessels of reception for the revelation of the Creator. This is the wisdom of Kabbalah. How do we build the spiritual radar? So now you actually gave the essence of the hidden part of the Torah of Israel. Yeah, and actually, this is all we need. That's it. Because our entire life here, before that, it's only in order for a stronger and stronger desire to become revealed. First, to build the desire, so much so that I'll want to reveal the Creator. But that's it. So actually, the process is such that in a person or in a group of people, there has to awaken a strong enough desire to reveal the Creator. And then, at first, they're like walking in the dark, because even if I want to, I don't have the tools, the ability to reveal the Creator. And then I start going through a process in which the entire study is the wisdom of Kabbalah that gradually teaches me how to acquire another quality and another ability. I wanted to ask about another aspect. When we're talking about the hidden part of the Torah of Israel, then in any secret writing, there's always a code that if you crack it, you understand how to read the secret writing, how to understand it. You can read the secret writing, but you don't understand what it means. You don't have the code. Right. What is the code that I need in order to crack the code in which the hidden part of the Torah of Israel is written in? The code is the quality of bestowal that you lack. Meaning that Kabbalah books are written and the spiritual forms are hidden, concealed, because all of them are in a concealed form, in the form of bestowal, and we exist in the form of reception. I can reveal only that which is to my benefit or to my detriment, meaning the entire world is full of things you can't imagine. 1,000 times more than what you can identify exists right here, and you can't identify it. You identify 1 out of 1,000. Why? Because all the rest of the forms, they do not belong to your egoistic desire. They can't benefit you or harm you. And therefore, you don't identify them. You're not looking. Like a little child that's told, look, look, be careful. He doesn't see. His mind, his emotions can't grasp it yet. So what does it have to do with the code with which I crack the secret writing? You have to build this code inside yourself. For you to want to receive or not to receive forms of bestowal and not of reception. Bestowal, what does that mean? Giving, love. So now I identify that which is to my benefit or to my detriment. Now in a more advanced state, after I build this code in me, what will I start identifying? you will start identifying qualities of bestowal and love. My calculation will be what's to my benefit or to my detriment? No, this is how it is now. What then? What's to the benefit or to the detriment of others in order to only cause them good? To whom? To others. Okay, and then if I build this kind of inner mechanism inside myself, this inner code, then I'll suddenly start identifying things that I don't identify right now, all these thousand different other details. This is called to reveal the concealed world. Okay, now I explained what code I need in order to reveal the hidden part of the Torah of Israel, so I understand that it's building a new attitude, a new approach toward others, toward myself, especially regarding my relation to others. Suppose I succeed, I build this inner code, and I approach the books of the hidden wisdom of Israel. What do I see there? What you see now? No, I can see that now too. There's a page, I see words, I read them without a code. You don't see the meaning. What does it want to say? What does the writer want to say? And if I have this inner code where I move on to this more advanced approach or attitude where everything's for the benefit, to the benefit of others, what do I see? What he wants to say? What does he want to say? I can't, because you don't have the sense to understand what he writes. This is why it's called concealed. So the concealments, they're multi-layered. It's not that simple. It's not that there was the hidden part of the Torah of Israel that was concealed for a long time and only the unique individuals passed it on from generation to generation. And suddenly in the 16th century, the Ari makes a revolution in Tzfat, starts teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah, and more Kabbalists came after him, the Baal Shem Tov, and more and more. Still, it doesn't crack the inner code that the texts of the hidden part of the Torah of Israel were made more accessible. This is only the first stage of the revelation. The second phase is up to me, the user. Of course, that I have to build this inner code inside of me, and only then do things open up. Yeah. What can take me from where I am right now? Who'll teach me to build this inner code that I can turn to the secret writing with? Who will teach me to build the inner code? In the worldwide B'nai Baruch organization, which are the Kabbalists of our times, yeah? So the sages of Kabbalah of our time offer anyone who wants to learn how to create, build this new inner calculation of to the benefit of others, can come and study, and only then do these writings become revealed. Yeah, why is it all so complicated? It's not complicated. It's necessary to build in you an additional nature besides the beastly nature that you already have. It's necessary to build an additional nature in you called Adam, in Hebrew both meaning a human being and also to be similar to the Creator. To the extent to which this Adam will grow in you, you'll be able to reveal the Creator. The beastly nature you mentioned is one of what's to my benefit, what's to my detriment, yes, and the spiritual nature is what's to the benefit or to the detriment of others, yes. These things don't contradict one another. Leave your beastly nature as is and build a spiritual nature. It's actually a process of inner development. Yeah, acquiring new qualities, new relations. Yeah, this is why it's called the hidden method, the hidden Torah, that no one sees what you're doing, meaning you're changing, but no one can see that change, other people meaning. Even you yourself don't know yet how you're changing. You start studying. You come to the lessons. You connect with other people that study it. But still, you don't feel the changes that you're going through. This is also really interesting, meaning a person usually, if he makes some kind of change, usually he feels the change in one way or another. Here he doesn't even feel the changes that he is undergoing. right? Otherwise what? He'll grasp them. He'll perceive them egoistically. This is the reason? One of the reasons. Now, because we have a minute left, I want to summarize the process. There's the hidden part of the Torah of Israel. What does it talk about? About how a person has to change in order to become like the Creator. And what is the essence of this change? Love and bestowal through others to the Creator. Developing love toward the entire world and through the entire world to the Creator. And the Creator, what is He? The force of good, the good and benevolent force. All created beings, at the end of their development, have to reveal the Creator, to reach equivalence of form with the Creator, meaning that they will also have the desire to benefit everyone. Meaning the peak of human evolution, the hidden part of the Torah of Israel, becomes the code by which all created beings live by. Yeah, and this is the highest degree of evolution, which is what? As it says, all shall know me from small to great. Meaning what? That everyone will reach the degree of the Creator, being good and benevolent toward everyone. Is it possible? It's a must. This is the purpose of creation, and we'll have to reach it. The only question is, either we do it in a short and convenient way through the wisdom of Kabbalah, or through blows and other unpleasant things, but we'll get there for sure. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.